Good morning.
I'm going to start off by reading this in Mark chapter 14 and verse 41. It says, "And Jesus came the third time, and he said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting?" Now, the them that we are talking about in this context are three of Jesus' disciples. We have Peter, James, and John. And the scene that we're kind of brought into here is Jesus when he is praying in the garden before his crucifixion. And if we were in the position of the disciples here when Jesus says these words, I'd imagine they'd be pretty hard words to hear. We notice that this is the third time that it says that Jesus has come to them. And when he has left them on two previous occasions before this, he did so with instructions. We read in verse 34, he says, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And in verse 37, he says, "Simon, are you still asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, me personally, I honestly struggle to even stay up past 9:30. These men, they had a pretty busy day that day, and they had a pretty big Passover meal not long before this. I think we can understand why their eyes would be a little heavy, and if we're being honest, I would fall asleep too. And yet, we don't want to rush past this without thinking about the fact that they were given a responsibility, though. And it is hard. And it stinks is really the only word that comes to mind. To be caught not taking care of your responsibility. Have you ever had that kind of moment? When I was younger, my motivation was certainly different than that of the apostles. But I remember one time I was out enjoying the day, riding my bike, living it up. And then either my mother pulled up next to me in the car while I was out riding the bike, or I came to the house and she was waiting for me whenever I was riding my bike. And I think that it's hard for me to remember exactly what happened in this moment. One, because that it happened a long time ago, but two, there's kind of a haze of fear around this moment. And the reason for that is my mother, who's in education, was teaching summer school that summer. And when she had left the house, she left me at the house, but she had told me I was to stay at the house. And when she left, you know, I thought, well, I know about what time she's going to be back home. And I decided to go out for a ride on my bike. I was wrong. She came home early. That was a poor decision on my part. In fact, it may be that part of the reason why that period is so hazy is because of the punishment that came after it. I'm not too sure. Again, my motivation was different than the apostles, but take it from me, and you know this as well, it is much better to be the child who is responsible than not. It is much better to be the child who, whenever their parent comes home, they find them being responsible than for the child to pull up to the house and be reminded that they weren't being. It's so much better to be the disciple who doesn't hear the words, "Are you still sleeping?" There's a parable that I want to take a look at in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we see a really good example of responsibility. In this parable, we are presented with these women whose responsibility it is to go out and to meet with the groom with lit lamps. And there are some that take that responsibility seriously, and they take extra oil so that they may do that. There's some that didn't. They're called foolish in the passage. And we read this in verse 6. "But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" Now obviously the end of this parable ends with the ending for those that were foolish. But one of the things that we also gain by reading this passage is how wonderful it would be to be the ones that were prepared. I mean, of course we don't want to be those that were not prepared, that were not ready for their master to come, but we certainly do want to be those that were. Now I'm going to take a look at another example of responsibility, this time in the Old Testament. We're going to hop back to Exodus chapter 25. This example also has to do with lamps. We see in Exodus 25, we read in Exodus 25 about the instruction that was given to the people about a lampstand. And this lampstand is very important because it is one of the things that is required for the tabernacle. Now I'm just going to go ahead and read about this lampstand starting in verse 31. We read, "Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. 6 branches shall go out from its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from the other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for 6 branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, 4 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be of one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps, 7 in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. See that you make it, you do make them after the pattern for them, which is shown to you on the mountain." Now I know it can be really hard to, at least it is for me, to visualize some of these things that are described for us about the tabernacle and the things that need to go into the tabernacle just by words. But maybe you have seen in pictures or movies, or maybe you've seen in real life, a menorah. That is what we're talking about here. If you haven't seen one of those before, I guess if you can imagine, I guess I was kind of imagining it to a fork. If you take a fork, and then you have one tine that is right directly where the stem is, or where the handle is, and then you would add 2 more tines on it, then you have kind of a very rough picture of kind of what this lampstand looks like. And all 7 of these tines, or all 7 of these branches, would each hold a lamp. Each separate branch would have a lamp. Now, obviously, responsibility comes into play because the people were to make this exactly as God wanted them to. But also I want to take a look at this. Hopping forward to Leviticus chapter 24, we see some instructions regarding this lamp beginning in this lampstand beginning in verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the sons of Israel that they bring to you clear oil from beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually. Outside the veil of testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually.'" Now, it, probably for you, the word that sticks out, or it did for me, was continually. Day or night, tired or not, it was the responsibility, the duty of the priest to keep these lamps burning continually before the Lord. So keeping that in mind, and also keeping in mind again that we've mentioned that there are 7 separate lamps that go on this lampstand, let's ask this question. What if just one of the lamps went out? There's still light coming from all the other lamps. There's still brightness. The tent is still being lit up, everything like that. But let's say one goes out. That one makes a difference. That is not what God wants. There are quite a few responsibilities that we see whenever we go through God's Word. There are responsibilities to be had towards family. There are responsibilities that are to be had towards brethren. There are responsibilities, most importantly, that are to be had towards God. And there's different passages within the Bible that I think, you know, really sum all of these responsibilities up very well. Seeking the kingdom first, being part of the body of Christ, attaining to a mature man in Christ. But this morning, the passage that I want to look at that, again, I feel like summarizes responsibility very well is this in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. And this in verse 16, let your light shine. Now again, a lot goes into that, right? There's responsibilities towards family, towards brethren, towards God. All of these responsibilities go into that. But can it not be expressed in that statement? Light. Be light. Okay, so whose responsibility is it? Who is it that is the light in the world and to let their light shine? Well, it is the responsibility of the church as a whole. And in fact, we do see this comparison used to the church in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, we see the churches or the different places where the church meets compared to lampstands. Revelation 1 in verse 12, we read this. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and we see this explained in verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now we see back in Hebrews chapter 9, the author of Hebrews is describing the tabernacle as just a representation, kind of like we talked about this morning, is a representation of the spiritual things that were to come. And he points out that Jesus has entered into the true holy place, the true holy of holy places, in Hebrews 9 and verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And the church here on earth, the lampstand of the church, is still waiting to go through that veil. We are still waiting to go into that holy of holies, heaven itself. But while we are here outside of the veil, it is our duty to shine. And praise God that the church will do that. The church is going to be a people of victory. The church is going to be the bride of Christ. The light is always going to be there, but God wants all of the light to shine. All of it. What we might have noticed back in Revelation chapter 1, there's not just one lampstand. Each of the churches had their own separate lampstand. Would God not want all of those to shine? All of these lampstands, again, if we think about a lampstand, they consist of different branches. Would God not want all of those to shine? Well, it is the duty of the church here in Happy Texas, the lampstand here within Happy Texas, to shine and to shine brightly for the Lord. But this lampstand of Happy Texas consists of different branches, a whole lot of branches. Look in the pews around you. And we all have our lamps. God wants us all to shine. I'm going to read the full section of Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And when Jesus is speaking here, I mean, he is talking about the collective. He is saying that my disciples as a whole are the light of the world. My disciples as a whole are the salt in this world. But the truth that Jesus was speaking to every single disciple who is listening to him then, and the same truth that he speaks to every disciple who hears these words today, is the fact that the church is a single entity that is consistent of many parts. It is the responsibility of the church to be salt in this world and light in the world. But that means it is the responsibility of us to be salt in this world and light in this world. Praise God for His kingdom. Praise God for the plan that He has had and that He has created this church and this kingdom that is the most powerful flame of light that is in this world. We read about what He says about this kingdom in Isaiah 60 and verse 1. He says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And this kingdom, this people, shines so brightly because, number one, it is God who illumines them. Our God is the God of light, and in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. Our Savior is light, the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12, but also this kingdom, this people shines so brightly because it consists of individuals that say, I am going to be God's light in this world. Not this person, or hopefully this person, but me. I am going to do it. I was formerly in darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. I will walk as a child of light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Now back in our text in Matthew chapter 5, I think we see that there's at least a couple of parts to this responsibility. Part of it is to retain, to hold on to faith, to hold on to love, to hold on to the knowledge that we have in God. These are the things that give us our saltiness. These are the things that give us our light. But there's also the second part, and this is the part that I struggle with, although I struggle with both parts. The other part is to exude it. To show it. After all, what good is it to be salt if nothing ever gets salted? What good is it to have light if you hide it under a basket? Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Yes, it is great that we retain our faith in Christ, that we retain our love, but we also show it. We show our faith. We show our love. We show our knowledge. We shine the light of goodness that God gives us into this world that needs it so badly. Another way that I was also thinking about it is, you know, what if you or I were to break something that didn't belong to us? Well, we could take responsibility for it in a couple of ways. The first way that we could take responsibility for it is admission. We can admit, yeah, I did it. We could take responsibility in that way. And hopefully we can all take responsibility by admitting things this morning, admitting our faults, admitting our weaknesses, admitting our need for Christ, admitting the need for love, admitting the importance of fruit and light for God, admitting that God's way is so much better than ours. Praise God if we can admit that this morning. That's the first step to taking responsibility. The second step is to live that. God gives us salt. God gives us light. Now we've got to exude that. But why? What is the purpose for this? Well, Jesus gives us our purpose in this text. And he doesn't say, do this, shine, be salt, be light, and everybody's going to love you. Be salt and be light, and then this life is going to be perfect. Although those that do the will of God are blessed in this life, don't get me wrong, but this is what he says in verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. Whoever shines their light brightly in this world gives glory to God. Is that a good motivator for us? Honestly, is that something that I could say, man, I want to do that? We should. And I'll tell you why we should. Part of it is because of what we read in this passage in Mark 15 and verse 33. We read, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. What is it that happened within those 3 hours? What is it that happened before? What is it that happened afterwards? God allowed the greatest atrocity to darken the skies that day for the church, church as a whole, but for you and for I. And he did so that we would bring his light into the world. The church as a whole, but you and I. God Almighty deserves to be glorified. By the church as a whole, but by you and by I, me. Wherever my English is supposed to say there, you and I. That's a responsibility we've been given. That's what we've been told to do. That is what he hands to us. Number one, to not allow our flame to be blown out ever by anything. But number two, to shine brightly for God. This is the same call that he gave to the men of old. And I want to remind us of a couple of their answers. Remember what Moses answered in Exodus 4 and verse 13? He said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 1 and verse 6, Behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Now these two are two of God's greatest servants. I'm not up here harping on them or anything like that. I bring these answers up for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you find it hard, this idea of being a servant of God in this life, you're not the only one. But we are privy to the whole story of these men that they were not able to see at this point whenever they made these statements. And you know what we see when we look at their whole story? We see that they were able to do it, and they shine bright for God. And they could have, from the very beginning, said, "Here I am, the Lord sent me," and they would not have been disappointed. That's what we see. Well, God says in His Word that somebody is going to shine for Him. He says that somebody is going to stay awake for Him. He says that somebody is going to wait for the groom with lamps lit and come out to Him with shining, with the lamps shining brightly. And we have had enough time within our lives to think that that is somebody else beside ourselves. It's not. Praise God, if we today say, you know what, that's my responsibility. I am going to do that. I am going to shine for God. God is going to be glorified, and we are not going to be disappointed. Every light matters. The lampstands matter. Every lamp within that lampstand matters. Let's shine bright for our God. We cannot do that. We cannot shine if we have not experienced His light yet this morning, though. He offers for every single person, anybody who needs it this morning, a light of healing, of forgiveness, the true light of life that comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're ready to accept that this morning, please do so. Please come forward and turn your life over to Him in baptism while we stand and as we sing.